Genesis chapter number 5, and then Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're going to look at one verse, really two verses in Genesis chapter 5, and then two verses in Hebrews chapter number 11. All right, Genesis chapter number 5, and we're going to start in verse number 22. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 22. And it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters." And verse 23, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Then I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11, and verses number 5 and 6. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word and how much truth we find in it. Father, this morning as we focus on the life of this man, Enoch, I pray that we would be able to learn some eternal truths that we could apply in our life. Father, as we learn what it means to walk with you, I pray that we would have that same testimony as Enoch, that we walked with you. Father, I pray that you would use this message. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. If there be anything that would not be good to share in this message, Father, I pray that your spirit would withhold that from me, and I pray that your spirit would prepare our hearts to receive your word, that this morning we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. And I pray that your spirit would speak to us in areas that need to be perhaps changed, or in areas that we need to make decisions on this morning. I pray that your spirit would have liberty and freedom to do that now as we get into this time of the message. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name, amen.
My breath.
Well, the scripture says in Genesis chapter 5, 22, and Enoch walked with God. I heard a story of a father and son that had arrived in a small western town, and they were looking for an uncle that they had never met before, the uncle of the father, and they had never seen him before. And as they were walking through the town, suddenly the father told his son, he said, "You know what? There is my uncle right over there." And his son said, "Well, Dad, how do you know that that is your uncle? You've never seen him. I've never seen him. How do you know that that's your uncle?" And he said, "Well, son, I know that's my uncle because he walks exactly like my dad used to walk." Do you know that your walk says a little bit about you? Your walk says a lot about what you're doing in life, where you're going in life. And the Bible simply says about Enoch that he walked with God. The word there in Hebrew is the word halak, and you can use that word in various different ways. For instance, walking can be used in the sense of what I'm doing right now on stage, moving your feet and one in front of the other and walking, and we can say that is to walk. But walk also can be used there to go somewhere, like I'm walking to the store, and you can use the sense of not really the literal sense of me taking steps, but you're going somewhere. But there's also a third way in which walk is used, and it's used here in that third manner. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because I want you to notice this morning that in that scripture of Genesis chapter 5, there's not a whole lot more mentioned about Enoch. I can't tell you this morning what he accomplished on earth. I can't tell you what Enoch invented. I don't know what his income was. I don't know whether he was wealthy or whether he was poor. I don't know what he did for a job or for a living. I don't know what his childhood was like. I don't know what grades he had in school. There's really nothing that the scriptures tell us about Enoch. I don't know how many brothers and sisters he had. But I can say this about Enoch, that he walked with God. You see, that third sense in how you would use the word walk is the same sense in which it's used in Hebrews chapter 11, and it means to please someone. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, which we also read, you'll notice that it said in verse number 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." That word "pleased" is the same word in Genesis 5:22 of walked. To walk with someone is to please that person in that sense. The context of what it was in Enoch's life was that he was pleasing God. Now that's something for us to think about this morning. Just three little words. Enoch walked, or four, with God. My counting is a little bit off. Enoch walked with God. Four words that make all the difference and tell you all you need to know about this man, Enoch. All that really mattered about what he accomplished in his life. Now, people have accomplished some amazing things in life. There are people that have accomplished great things, for instance, in the area of basketball. This guy is named Larry Bird, and for those that are, you know, under 30 years old, he was a great basketball player, okay? He was one of the greatest in NBA history. I don't know if I can make this thing stay up here, but He was one of the greatest in NBA history. In fact, he was a three-time NBA champion. He was a three-time MVP. He was Rookie of the Year. He scored 21,791 points in his career as a basketball player. He's considered one of the top five, if not one of the top seven basketball players of all time. He accomplished some great things in the game of basketball. There's another man that accomplished some great things, and that man is by the name of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was a six-time NBA champion. He was a five-time MVP. He was also Rookie of the Year. He scored 32,292 points. He was probably the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. It's arguable, but yet he is considered by most people as the greatest basketball player of all time. He accomplished some great things in the area of basketball. This last jersey is an unknown. This school doesn't even exist anymore. Valley Christian School, this is the baseball jersey of the shortstop there. Now you're looking at the shortstop now that used to play in that jersey. I was a whole lot smaller, by the way, back then. I don't know if I could even fit in this jersey anymore. I'll tell you something, this jersey and that person right here, he didn't accomplish a whole lot in the game of baseball. In that year that he wore that jersey, he hit no home runs. I don't know how many RBIs he had, but it wasn't very many. I can't tell you how many double plays he turned. It wasn't very many. I can't even remember one. And all the time that he played at shortstop, that I was there in that position, I didn't accomplish a whole lot compared to maybe these other two individuals in their sports. But the question this morning isn't how much have you accomplished in life, but who have you pleased in life? You see, to walk with someone is to please that person. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find of Enoch that he pleased God. This morning, I want to just share with you two requirements that it takes in your life if you're going to please God. If you're going to walk with God, if you will have the testimony that was in Enoch's life, that all those that knew Enoch said he walked with God. That's all they said about it. They didn't say anything else about what he had, but they simply said he walked with God. If that's going to be your testimony, I want to share with you just two requirements that we find in Hebrews chapter 11 to do this. We find, first of all, that you must believe God. In verse number 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. By the way, that word impossible is an important word. It does not say there, without faith, it's not likely that you will please God. It doesn't say, without faith, you'll probably not please him so much. No, it says it is impossible. There is no way to please God without faith. And the faith of Enoch had this. Number one, it says that he believed God. What does it mean to have that faith? What does it mean to walk with God? It means to believe him. It says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You must believe that he is. I want you to notice there in your notes, we must believe, first of all, that he is God. Did you know that we are living right now in a day and age in which the fastest growing religion here in America is no religion? Those that claim none, N-O-N-E, none is the fastest growing religion. That means that the average person here in America is starting to either say this, either I don't believe that God exists, or I don't believe that there's only one God, there's multiple gods, and I can't identify with which one. But that's the fastest idea and the fastest religion growing in America today. Let me just say, if you're going to walk with the God of the Bible, you must understand and you must believe this morning that he is God. He is the one true God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible doesn't have to try to argue the existence of God. The Bible doesn't teach us that there are many, many gods that created our universe. No, there is one God. And if you're going to walk with him, it must start with a walk of faith that believes that he is God. I like what Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the Bible says if you're going to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you're going to come to have a walk with God, it starts with the word of God. It starts with believing that there is one God. Now, if this is true, I want you to understand this morning. If there is true that there is only one God, then we must accept that I am not Him. If there is one God this morning, then I can tell you right now, I am not that one God. I can tell you this morning, I give testimony that the God of the Bible is that one God. In fact, I like what Job said at near the end of his life, Job 42, 3-6 says, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful to me which I knew not. Here," he said, "I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now," Job said, "mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You know what Job had to come to in his life? He came to this truth that he is not God, that there is a God, there is one true God, and I believe in that God. I am not him. He is the one true God, the one creator of our world. You see, in Enoch's day, in Enoch's life, Enoch found this, that he believed that God is who God said he is. That what the Bible has to say about this one true God is only the truth. You don't find the truth of the God in the book of Quran. You don't find them in the book of Mormon. You find them in the Holy Bible. And that's the only place. We find that if you're going to have a walk with God, you must believe that He is God. By the way, if you are not Him, then you'll find this also. That He has to be the authority and power in our life. If there is one true God, if there is only one God and one creator, then they have to come to the conclusion in your life that He has all authority and all power of your life. If He is the one that created you, then He is the one that you are accountable to. We find that Enoch was not a man that was confused about what he believed. He wasn't confused about how many gods are out there. He wasn't trying to please all the other so-called gods of his day. He was not trying to please all the people around him. No, he was trying to please that one God, that one who had created him. We find that it says of Enoch's life, says he walked with God. If you're going to walk with God, he says, you must believe that He is. 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed," Paul said, "for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed against unto Him against that day." Paul said this, "I know whom I believed. I know where my faith rests and in who I'm walking with." I wonder this morning, if I'm going to ask you, who are you walking with? In other words, who are you trying to please with your life? By the way, walking, remember, equals pleasing. Walking in the Bible equals pleasing in this passage. I wonder, who are you trying to please this morning? We find that you must believe that He is God. You must also believe, secondly, there in your notes, that He is the Savior. John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We find if you read in Jude 4, verse number 14 there in your Bible, we won't turn there this morning, but you'll find what Enoch had to say about the last days. You'll find where Enoch's faith rested, and his faith rested on the eternal Son of God. Though he never saw Jesus Christ in his lifetime in 365 years, yet he could see in the future that there was a promised Messiah that was coming. And he believed in that truth. And he was saved by that truth. This morning we look back at that truth. A man by the name of Jesus Christ who went to a cross to die for my sin. We look back at that Messiah and what he did and that work that he did for us on the cross. Let me just say, if you're going to have a walk with God this morning, you got to believe that He is God, but you also have to believe that He can save you. He is the only one that can save you. He is the only one whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ alone is that man. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The average Christian today sad to say, doesn't believe those truths. Do you know that belief always manifests itself in action? Belief always manifests itself in action. You will do something or you will refrain from doing something based on what you believe. Someone has said it this way: the only parts of the Bible that we believe are the parts that we obey. It's interesting, but I would venture to say that if not all here, most in here have never stuck their fingers into a socket. And in fact, if you've had children, you know that you teach them, if you don't get the little covers on there, you at least teach them, don't ever get around that socket. Don't be playing with it. Don't be putting your fingers in there. Why? Why don't we just wait to him to put the fingers and then he'll sort of figure it out? Why don't we just let them fall from the chair and hit their head a few times? Maybe they'll figure it out. No, we don't do that because we know and we believe if they put those fingers in there, that could kill them. There's mortal danger there. Though I've never experienced it, though I've never felt it, yet I know that to be true. And because I believe that, it forces me to train my child to avoid those things. This morning, are you going to walk with God? If you're going to walk with God, you got to believe Him. You got to believe Him. It's more than just head knowledge. It's more than just saying, well, this is what I do on Sunday mornings. Oh, God's been so good to me. I'll just go give Him an hour of my day there on Sundays. No. You know what that tells me? You don't believe Him. Why don't we always sit down and stay for our Sunday school class and want to grow more in the Word of God? Since faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God, why don't we stay? Because we don't believe it. Because we believe, hey, I don't need it too much. I don't need to be too fanatical with it. I don't need too much Bible in my life. You see, because God is not the center of your life. God is just merely a part of your life. There's a huge difference between God being the center of your life and God just being a part of your life. You see, when God is part of your life, then you try to fit Him in into your schedule. But when God is your life, then you try to fit other things in your schedule. The reason we don't make time to come back on Sunday nights to receive the Word of God, the reason so many times on Wednesdays we don't come to hear the Word of God, is not because it's going to do us harm or we're going to become too fanatical. It's because we don't believe that He is our life. I promise you this morning, if Enoch were in this church, Enoch would be here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You know that Enoch would be here at the activities and help and do what he can do. He would get out on visitation. He would try to knock on some doors and tell people about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do you know that? He wasn't even around. You don't even know him. He lived so many years ago. How do you know that? Because the Bible said he walked with God. That means he believed him. Simply saying this morning so many times, God's not the center of our life because we don't believe him. It'd be amazing how much our life would change and how much our schedule would change and how much our goals would change if we just kept Jesus Christ as the center of our life. But sadly, he's not. Sadly, too many times it's work, or sports, or any other thing in life. And I'll just try to fit God in when I can. Maybe once a week, maybe when it's not, you know, too bothersome. Yeah, I'll make it to those activities if it doesn't conflict too much with my schedule, because after all, I got to score some points. I got to reach the pinnacle in life. I got to please me. I got to please them. They're counting on me. Oh, that there would be an Enoch in our day that would say, listen, I really don't care if I don't score all the points, and it doesn't really matter if I get to the pinnacle of my life or in my career. All I want to know is, do I love God? All I want people to say about me is that I walked with God. Oh, that there would be that kind of desire in God's people today. But I want you to notice, not only if you're going to walk with God, must you believe Him, but secondly, you must seek Him. May I say that this is a heart issue. If you're going to seek Him diligently, it's interesting when you do that word study of that word to seek. It's a word, I believe it's ekzeteo, I think, in the Greek there. It's the word that we get our word examine from. It means to seek out. It's not just to seek. It doesn't have the idea of seeking someone that is hiding. God is not hiding from you this morning and saying, okay, try to find me, see if you can find me. It's not a hide-and-seek game with God. But to seek after Him is to get to know Him. Much like a doctor would examine his patient, he's going to do more than just say, how are you feeling today? No, he wants to know, where are you hurting? How long has it been hurting? Have you taken any tests? You know what, we should do some tests now. I need to see why this is happening to you. I'm going to examine you. I'm going to seek after what it is that is in your body right now, that's causing what is causing you to happen there. You see, we find of Enoch that his faith was one that he believed God, but he was also one that he sought after Him. He says, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Someone has said, at the heart of every problem is a problem with the heart. The reason we don't seek after God many times is because we've let our heart wander. Love that song that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Listen, it's within every heart in here to go away from God, to seek after our own, to please ourselves. But oh, that person that walks with God is one that seeks after Him. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Matthew 12:34 teaches us, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When was the last time you sought Him? I mean, diligently sought after Him. When was the last time your heart really desired Him? So many times in our life, we can wake up on a Sunday morning and go, ah, it's church today, isn't it? Very few times do we wake up and say, it's church. I can't wait. I can't wait to get there and sing. I can't wait to hear the specials. I can't wait to study a little bit of God's Word. I can't wait to see what He has for me today. You know why? Because our heart is wandering. Matthew 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search me with all of your heart. You see, if you're going to seek after Him, you're going to have a pure heart. You're going to have one that longs for Him. I want you to notice this morning, not only is it a heart issue to seek after Him, but it's work. So many times we want an easy Christian life, a cookie-cutter Christian life, a religious, if you will, Christian life. Religion says, well, this is what you got to do over and over. This is how you got to earn it. This is how you got to work it. That's what religion tells you. Get into this routine and this will help you and this will please God. But we find that God is not pleased with just routine and with religion. God is pleased when you seek after Him. Diligently seek after Him. You know what? In Proverbs, the Bible says that to look for the truths of God through His Word is like mining for gold. I don't know how much research you've ever done, but you'll find that when you're going to mine for gold, you'll have to get all these rocks, you get out of a riverbed, or you go to a mine and you start bringing rocks, and then you have to sift through it and sift through it and sift through it. If you read anything of the history of the 49ers, those that went to California looking for gold, you'll find that many of them searched all their life and didn't find much gold. They would search all their life just for little itty pieces of gold. And those that found was because they kept at it and kept at it. They'd go one day and say, man, I didn't find gold, but maybe tomorrow. And they'd say, the next day, well, I found a little bit of gold, but maybe tomorrow I'll find some more. Maybe the next day I'll find some more, and then the next day I'll find some more. And they just kept at it. Let me just say, every time you read your Bible, it's not always going to be a mountaintop experience. You're not always going to say, wow, that was something I never knew before. No. Sometimes they're just little pieces of gold that you need to be reminded of. He said, maybe God wanted to remind you about. But you know that those that walk, those that are willing to seek diligently, to work at it, to not quit. We find that God is one that rewards our faith when we do that. Enoch found that God rewarded his faith. You'll find if you go back to Genesis chapter 5, and I want you to notice this, in Genesis chapter 5, you'll find the fruit of his labor, of his faithfulness, of his heart after God. You'll find that in every other verse there in that chapter, you'll find it says, and so-and-so lived, and then he died. And so-and-so lived this many years, and he died. And so-and-so lived this many years, and he died. But when it comes to Enoch, it says, and he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Do you know what the result of following after God is, of pleasing God, of walking with God is? Life. Jesus said, I have come that ye may have life, and that more abundantly. So many Christians, we miss out on life. We don't miss out on goals. We don't miss out on what we wanted to accomplish ourselves. But we miss what life is all about because of the fact that we don't please God. Find in scriptures that Enoch was one that experienced that rewarding faith. That one that experienced God's life-giving power. Simply saying this morning, if you're going to walk with him, you got to believe him. You got to seek after him. You know, there's a story that is told of a famous violinist who was playing at a concert. And as he was playing in this concert, he was playing the best he had ever played. I mean, it was an amazing concert. The crowds had come out that night. Everybody was just in dead silence as he played on that violin. And he played and played and played. And finally, he played the last piece. And the crowd was just roaring. And they were just amazed at how wonderful he played. And he finished and he got up and he bowed and he walked to the backstage. But then shortly after, he came back a second time. Of course, the crowd was still cheering, and he sat back down, and he played an encore performance. And that encore performance was better than what he had played on the previous pieces already. And of course, the crowd erupted once again, and he got up, and he bowed, and he walked out to the backstage. But then he came back a third time. And a third time, he began to play, and it was even more beautiful than the first encore. And everybody erupted again in applause, and he got up and he bowed and he walked out. Then he walked back a fourth time. And this happened again a fifth time and a sixth time. And it just seemed like every time he came back out, he played better and better and better. And finally, after the seventh time, he bowed. Crowd was just ecstatic at this point, deafening the applause that they had for him. He bowed, and he walked off stage, and he went to his dressing room. As all the people began to leave the theater, all the reporters that were there had all these questions for him, and they waited in the dressing room for him to get ready and come out. And as soon as they came out, a reporter came to him, and he said, listen, I noticed, Mr. Violinist, I noticed that you had played in this concert, and you did amazing. It was probably the best you've ever played in your entire life, but I got to ask you, you came out and you played the encore and it was amazing. Then you played a third time and a fourth time and you kept coming out. You could have done a whole nother concert, but I got to ask you, why did you keep coming out and doing it again and again? And he said, well, to be honest, this was the first concert, he said, that the teacher that I had came to hear me play. He's a master violinist. And he said, when I finished my concert, I looked and everybody was clapping and cheering about my performance. He said, everybody but my teacher. He still just sat there. He said, when I came back for that first encore performance, everybody again stood up, everyone but my teacher. He said, not until the seventh encore performance did I look up and notice that my teacher had gotten to his feet and was applauding. He said, when I saw him applaud, I knew I had done well. Pleasing God isn't about pleasing everybody else that's around. It's not working and walking just to see what people are going to say about me and their applause and their glory. No. Walking with God is all about that one. That one who saved you by His grace. That one that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Walking with God is not focusing on the crowds. It's focusing on that person. The Bible simply says of Enoch, and Enoch walked with God. He had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God. I wonder this morning, could the workers at your job site say, that man walks with God. That lady walks with God. Man, it doesn't matter what we do, doesn't matter what we say. All she ever wants to do is please God. I wonder this morning how many would say, man, I hope in my life, if I don't ever get to the pinnacle of my job, if I don't do something great in my sport, I hope that one thing that can be said about me is that I walk with God. And God, help us have that testimony. Let's pray. Father, I